This is Jenna from San Diego.
Jenna!
Hi, everybody. I'm alcoholic. My name is Jenna. Okay. Hi. Okay. Welcome. Great. All right. Here we go. Woo! I get really excited, and thank you to whoever may be responsible for having me come out here and speak. And since I'm not allowed to mention names, I won't, but I'll just stare at him really uncomfortably and be really grateful. I really, really love this person and their energy that they bring into the room of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I'm really grateful for you, and I'm excited to come share a little bit of my experience, strength, and hope in a matter of 10 minutes. And I'm very sorry for our ASL interpreters because I do talk fast. Oh, but I'm appreciative that you're here. Okay. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I get really pumped up. Old timers think I'm really new because I talk so fast because I get so excited. And the truth is I'm just really passionate. Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my life in ways that I can't even begin to explain. I love it. When I first got sober, they'd say, oh, and welcome. Welcome to the newer people. If this is your first rodeo, I hope you find something worth your time here. And if this isn't your first rodeo and you've just made it back, I'm glad that you made it back alive. And congratulations to our token taker and happy birthday. The old timers used to say something in meetings. They'd say, "Don't leave before the miracle happens." And oh God, that was so frothy. Just don't leave before the miracle happens. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And reflecting on some of my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous on the way here tonight, that kept coming into my mind, and man, am I glad I didn't leave before the miracle happens. I don't really know where the willingness comes from, aside from a desperation and not wanting to die from alcoholism. It's a pretty good willingness right there, but the truth is that I've gotten to stick around, and a miracle has happened, and it's a lot more for me than I probably have time to go into in 10 minutes. Part of the miracle is that I've recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind. I've recovered from the insane idea that I can drink normally. I mean, that's like, if I don't share anything else tonight and you're an alcoholic and you're wondering if Alcoholics Anonymous has something to offer for you, the solution's in the big book. And because I've worked that solution, I've done the steps, I've taken inventory, I've developed a relationship with a power greater than myself. I continue to work this program to the best of my ability every day. I don't have the insane idea that I can drink like a normal person. Ta-da! Is it 10 minutes yet? Oh, boy. Let's have a little fun. It is Saturday night. I love it when I hear the big-time speakers talk about that. They say, I put off drinking as long as I could, man. I waited until I was 11. And that was my experience. I really put off until about 11, and then I just went strong. And one time I heard that a lot of alcoholics' first memories are resentments, and mine happens to be a really solid resentment, and I was really upset with my brother that he wouldn't take me to the park. As I came online onto being a human being, I tried killing my brother at 5 for not getting to go to the park. That's like my first thought. So I think some vodka would have just smoothed out some edges at that point, you know. And so 11 was a long time, 6 years later, you know, I finally started drinking to feel okay in my skin. And I don't know if I felt different. When people say I felt so different, I wasn't going around, you know, asking people, hey, do you feel different? I do. You know, I don't know what other people felt like at 5. I know that my skin didn't fit right. I'll tell you that. I just always wanted to be somewhere other than what I was, and I find out that's restlessness, you know, and I was always angry and uncomfortable. I find that's irritability. I never liked what I had, and everybody always had what I wanted. I find out that's being discontent. That's the restlessness, irritable, and discontent. I find that out in Alcoholics Anonymous. I start picking up tools as I work a program, right, and I put these little tools in a tool bag, and I start carrying my tool bag around. When I have problems and difficulties that arise in my life, I remember, I'm like, I'm a little restless, irritable, and discontent. I got me a case of the RIDS. You know, I got that going on in my mind. I'm like, what do you do to get out of the RIDS? I should probably pray and meditate. Maybe I should take an inventory. Maybe I should call another alcoholic and ask them how I'm doing. Because the only alcoholic I've talked to today is myself. And that is a terrible plan. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's all I feel like AA has done is giving me a really great tool bag. Now, the book has a better, they call it spiritual tools, so they call it a design for living that really works. That's all it is. And I hear people talk, I always want my blueprint. I didn't get my blueprint when I was a kid. And I came to AA, and I opened the book, and it says, this is a design for living. I'm like, it's a blueprint, and it's in a blue book. Oh, I got so excited, you know. And And the reason I found it is I was in book studies. I went to book studies like my life depended on it. You know, I was like in book study, just like, oh, I'm here to learn. And nobody, you know, people who are serious about program will hang out with you if you're reading the book. People who aren't stay away from you because they don't want what you have. And so I got real serious, and that's I learned a lot of information by doing that. I think I have 6 minutes left. Yeah. Right on the money. Thank you. So when I started drinking at 11, I had a phenomenon happen. I had this feeling of like, wow, this feels really good, and I want to do this as much as I can. I'm probably going to do this till the day that I die. That's all I knew. And I didn't know. It just was like a click. I didn't even have to question it. For me, I hear it takes time for some people to cross that imaginary line, and for me, it happened right away. I just crossed right into alcoholism. There was no pit stop. I just pew, and so I was off and running. And I had the phenomenon of craving, the allergy, right? And out of all of the three things of our disease and the spiritual malady, aka soul sickness. I love that saying. The soul sickness, the mental obsession, and the physical allergy. I got real close and personal with the physical allergy, and I found out that if I put alcohol in my body, I'm screwed. I got nothing that's going to stop me from picking up the drink. I don't know when I'm going to end. I don't know how much it's going to take. I just know that I'm completely out of control. Now, if I don't pick up and I don't put in, I'm one step ahead of the game. But the problem is I have this brain that talks to me. This brain says, hey, you're thinking about drinking? You should be thinking about drinking. You want to think about drinking? Let's talk about tomorrow. You want to pick up a bottle? Maybe you should drink. You want to drink tomorrow? How about you drink today? You drank yesterday. You might as well drink today. You got good and drunk yesterday. How about you drink? You should call somebody. I'm not going to call anybody. I'm going to get drunk. And I got drunk. Shit, I got drunk. You know what I mean? Woo! And so if I don't address that, all bets are off, right? So, like, how did I address that? I would drink. So then I get physically sober, and I'm like, oh, I got a big problem, right? And so that's where the steps come in. That's where going to meetings like my life, you know, depended on it. It's where reading the book, talking to other alcoholics, developing a relationship with God, rinse, lather, repeat. I think I have, like, what, 4 minutes? 2 minutes. Oh, you guys. Oh, so sad. 2 minutes. All right, so I drank a lot, and I tried to get sober a bunch of times. I missed a funeral. That was not a good thing to miss. I had to get right. You know that feeling, got to get right before you go somewhere, and then you overshoot the mark and you miss that somewhere. So that happened quite a bit. Missed the mark on work a bit. Got into illegal activities. Thought I was really cool. Thought I was like Al Pacino or something. About 17, I thought, oh, dude, this isn't working out for me. Had a God shot. Ended up going to Oakland to try and get sober. That was interesting in itself. Got sober in Sacramento. My sobriety date's April 1st of 2005. And I don't understand why we clap for. I mean, I think it's great that we're clapping whenever people clap. But to me, it's a gift. It's a gift from my higher power. It's a present. It's a present. It's literally a present. I try to get sober every Monday. Every Monday was my day. Today's the day. I don't even remember what April 1st, 2000, I think it was like a Thursday. Like, who gets sober on a Thursday? Like, I don't. God got me sober, you know? And so I try to respect that gift by doing what's recommended in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, man, I only have like a minute. That's right. Yeah, I'm so right on point. I like you. Okay. right on point. 1 minute. So I only have a minute to go, but that's not enough time to talk about all the awesome stuff that's happened in my life in recovery. But if there was a golden ticket that I had to sell, like I would totally try and give it to you guys, but I can't because it's attraction, not promotion. So the thing is that, gosh, I'm just overwhelmed right now with excitement. Okay, and only 45 seconds now. I just can't even talk. Okay, so I got to move down here from Sacramento, and I've gotten to meet a lot of really rad people. SoCal has some amazing recovery to be had, and if you didn't hear something in this meeting tonight that really gets you going for AA, try another meeting. There's more meetings here than I know what to do with. There's meetings all over the place, and like I said, I think the biggest miracle for me that's happened, and I'm grateful that I didn't leave Alcoholics Anonymous before it happened, is that I have recovered from that seemingly hopeless state of mind. But what that really translates for me is that I have peace of mind today. I can sit anywhere and be okay. I can walk into a room and be like, I have no idea what I'm going to say to these people, and I'm going to be taped. That is a horrible, that feels terrible. I'm scared, God. And I said, I'm scared. And I can walk in and I'm okay, though. I'm going to be okay. And that's what's rad. And usually that stuff would send me into a tailspin. I'd have to drink, and then I'd be in a ditch somewhere wondering how I got there. And so I'm not going to end up in a ditch today, hopefully. Thank you. And I'm grateful that I got to come share with you guys. I'm really excited to hear from our speaker tonight. And hooray.